Okay, morning everyone. Today's daf Tzadi Hei in Shabbos. We are on Tzadi Dalam and Beis. Two big issues we tackled yesterday. We covered the issue of Malach Hashem Tzrich LeGufa. We went over the Machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of what the definition of Malach Hashem Tzrich LeGufa is. It's an important Tosfos found on Tzadi Dalam and Aleph that discusses at length. And the other big topic we covered yesterday is Chai Nosei Satzmo. That if you're carrying another human being, so you're not going to be chav in the Malach of Shabbos. Why should that be? Once again, Rashi and Tosfos have a discussion debate amongst that as well. And that is our two big discussions that we went over yesterday. Moving a mace on Shabbos. So there are two issues with moving a mace. So number one, there's the issue of moksa. The mace is moksa on Shabbos. But that could be obviated, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, and as we mentioned yesterday in yesterday's daf. You obviate the issue of moksa by putting a loaf of bread or a child on top of the mace, and you move it. You transfer it that way. And then there's the other issue, which is that it's Malach Hashem Tzrich LeGufa, meaning to carry the mace from a Rishos HaRam to Rishos HaYachid or vice versa, is merely a Malach Hashem Tzrich LeGufa. You don't really want to move the mace from point A to point B. You just simply want to get rid of it from this place right over here. So as we pointed out yesterday, because of Malach Hashem Tzrich LeGufa, so we pass like Rabbi Shimon, although I also mentioned yesterday, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda, but we pass like Rabbi Shimon, which means that it is Pater of Al Aser. It's Aser Midrabanan. And yesterday, the lesson we mentioned in the Gemara yesterday is that you could take Kavod Abrius as a consideration, meaning if there is a Kavod Abrius consideration to be taken, and considering the fact that the Iser of moving a mace is only an Iser Midrabanan, and specifically, the Gemara also mentioned this yesterday. And specifically moving it into a karmelis as well, or even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would also be only an Issa d'Rabbanan, so then you can take Kavod HaBrius into consideration. Okay? Wrap up of yesterday's daf, and now we continue in the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. We're learning a Mishnah together in Nedarim. Okay, this has very little to do with Shabbos, next to nothing to do with Shabbos, but it comes up over here by way of Derech Agav. Hatolish Yimani Tuma. If you remove Simani Tumah, we're talking about Saras and Negayim, and the halach is that if you have Shtei Saras Levanos, two white hairs, on the Beharis, so it's Metame. So you need two white hairs, that's a shear. And so therefore, if you pluck out Simani Tumah, or Hichva HaMechia, Rashi explains, Machis Basar Chai, who is Simon Tumah, Beseis Vechva Zula Levatala, Mishum Mechia Ulatara. Okay, and somehow, I'm not really sure how this works, but you scalded out the Saras. Either way, in any event, over below Sase, you're in violation of a Lo Sase in the Torah. Rashi points out, Pasuk and Pashas Ki Seitzei, He Shamir Benegat Saras. Once you have Saras on you, you cannot touch the Saras, meaning it has to be cured, healed naturally. So therefore, any manipulation that you do with the tzaras is going to be a violation of the Isra and the Torah. It's a negative commandment. It's a lav. Even though the Torah doesn't use the words lo, but as the Gemara says in other places, when the Torah says the words he shamer is tantamount to saying lo. It's the same thing. Idmar achas mishtaim chaya v'achas mishalosh. Now, as we point out, the minimum amount of hairs that you need in order to create tumas negayim is two hairs. If I pluck out one of the two hairs, so that's it. So now I've tampered with the tzaras. The Gemara wants to know, achas mishalosh. What if it's one out of three hairs? So that means that there are two hairs remaining. So I did tamper with the tzaras, but there still is simane tzaras there. So is that tampering going to violate Issa d'Oraisa? Rav Nachman Amar Chayev, Rav Sheshes Amar Pater. So it's a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Rav Nachman Amar Chayev, Ahani Maisav, Dimishtak Lechad Achrita, Azel Leitoma. So the argument of Rav Nachman is, look, you're right. As it is right now, Bashir Usham, it's fine. I mean, it's Saras, but that's exactly the point. You haven't removed the Saras. But what you did, however, is now you made it more precarious. You made it more delicate. Where now, where it was once three, now it's only two, and all you need is one more hairs of that behera to be removed, and now you're going to lose the Saras. So because you didn't ruin it, but you tampered it, and you made it more susceptible. It's not the right word, but you made it more prone to becoming ruined. So therefore, you're in violation. And Rav Sheshes says, "Amar Pater Hashemia Ha'Aisalatoma." And Rav Sheshes says, "Look, in other words, you have three hairs. You only need two hairs in order for the tzaras to be considered tzaras. So therefore, Bashir Husham, you're fine." Amar Shesha Mina Amin Allah did not. And you probably were wondering, why are we having this discussion right now? Meaning it is a great discussion in Negayim, but we're not learning Negayim. We're learning Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to make a comparison. So what do we learn in our Mishnah? That if you move a Kezayis Min Ameis, Kezayis of human remains on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayav. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be Potter, but either way, so ha-chatzis ayis patur, but the point being is, however, is that you need a shear. If I only move the chatzis ayis to be patur, v'hatanya chatzis ayis chayev, and meanwhile, I can show you another braisa where the braisa says that if I move a chatzis ayis, no chayev. So basically, I have two opinions over here in terms of what if I move a chatzis ayis of human remains. One braisa, meaning notably our Mishnah says that you be patur, and the braisa says you're chayev. So my love, ha-tanya chayev, da'afik chatzis ayis mechazayis, v'hadanam patur, da'afik chatzis ayis mechazayis u'mechsa. So the Gemara would like to suggest the machlokus. Machlokus is that it started with a kezayis and a half. The braisa that says that you're chayev is that you started with a kezayis and you removed the chatzis of the kezayis. So in other words, it's a significant shear. The hadid non pater the afik chatzis ayis mekezayis umechsa. And the one that the braisa that says that your pater, meaning that it was a kezayis and a half, you only took it a half a kezayis, you have not really at all affected the remaining kezayis of human remains, and so therefore it's pater, it's not a significant moving. Rav Nachman Yidiv, now Rav Nachman will tell you, Yidiv Yidichayev, v'hadid nan pater, dafik chatzizayis, mi meis gadol. Rav Nachman will tell you, no, in both situations you'd be pater. And in both situations you'd be chayev. The hadinam pater and the mission that says that your pater is talking about where you removed the chatzis ayis from a meis gadol, and meaning that really you didn't affect it at all. Meaning it wasn't 50% of the remains being removed; it was just merely a fraction. Gemara doesn't tell us what that fraction is, but it's just simply a fraction of the meis gadol, and. And so therefore, lo ahani masav, that means that your action was totally ineffective. Okay, adkan. Okay, and now we're going to finish up the 10th parak of Shabbos. Now, we're not going to finish up this morning, but we only have a couple more Mishnayos to go. And here now, we're going to go through a couple of, random malachas on Shabbos, but actions which may be a malacha on Shabbos. Certainly prohibited activities, but may in fact be a malacha. Obishinov. Okay, so number one, cutting your fingernails. Now the Mishnah gives the example of cutting your fingernails zubazoo, meaning not using scissors, not using a clipper, but using one against the other, meaning that you peel off your fingernails, or you bite them off with your teeth. V'chein sa'aro, v'chein stefamo. I'm sorry, and the same thing is true with your hair, meaning I remove the hair with my fingers, or I remove the hair using my teeth. V'chein sifamo. Same thing with my mustache. V'chein zikano. Same thing with my beard. V'chein hagodalis, braiding hair. V'chein hakocheles, putting on some sort of eye makeup. V'chein hapokeses. Pokeses, we'll get back to in just a moment. And Rabbi Elazar mechayev chacham amos mishum shvas. Rabbi Elazar says you chayev kamin chatas. Rabbi Elazar's position, which is not lahalacha, is that all these actions, all these activities are not only us on Shabbos. It's a chiyuv chatas. They are malachas. Now, what we need to do with all these cases is identify what exactly the malacha is. Some of them may be obvious, and most of them, I would say, is not so obvious what exactly the malacha is. But Rabbi Elazar says that you're chayiv. Now, the Chachamim saying asur mishum shvus. I'm sure the word shvus came up earlier in the Masechta. Cannot pinpoint where exactly, but this may be one of the first times that we're seeing the word shvus. Shvus is a term that refers to exera de rabbanan. Anything where the rabbis decreed on Shabbos that you cannot do, out of fear that it looks like a malacha, it'll lead to a malacha, whatever the reasoning is, so that's identified as a shvus. So the Mishnah says that all these actions on Shabbos are prohibited, but it's not a chiyuv chatas, it's just simply a shvus. Okay, now, these activities on Shabbos, removing your fingernails, cutting off your hair, again, not with scissors, but with your hand, braiding your hair, all that was pretty straightforward. What is pokeses? What actually is that? So Rashi himself is unsure. So Rashi over here says, "V'chein pokeses." I'm reading Rashi from the Mishnah. Yesh me rabosai omrim mitakanas. I'm sorry, matkenas ta'ara b'masreik obiyadayim. So one pshat I heard says Rashi is you comb your hair. You comb your hair either with a comb or you use your hands to basically fix your hair. V'yesh mefarshin tacha kemin batzek alpanao u'kishenot lo ma'adim habasar. And others say that it's some sort of exfoliator. In other words, you put some sort of dough on your face, and you pull off the dough, and it gives you a red complexion. That is the other pshat within Rashi. Tosfos does not buy into the first pshat. I will show you later on the Gemara why it is that Tosfos does not like the first pshat within Rashi. Okay, but it's really not clear what the word pokeses means. Now, Amar of Elazar machlokes biyad avav bekli chayev. Now, let's go back to the first case of the Mishnah. So, removing your fingernails, using your fingers. So, there's a debate in the Mishnah, but Rav Elazar says, I'm going to limit the debate in the Mishnah. The whole debate in the Mishnah is only when I take it off with my fingers, with my other hand. But if I use a kli, if I use a pair of scissors, if I use a clipper, so there, that's a chiyuv, meaning that's a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos to cut your fingernails with a clipper. So the Gemara says, now isn't it obvious pshita zubazu tanan? Because our Mishnah says that the whole debate is only zubazu, one hand against the other. Ma'u detim rabbanim b'kli nami patre. Could be that the chachamim are poter even if I use a kli. V'ha diktani zubazu lo dicha kocha de Rabbi Elazar. And maybe the Mishnah's point over here is to show the strength of Rabbi Eliezer, that even if I'm only using my hands, Rabbi Eliezer still says that that's a chiyuv chatos. Kamash malan. That's a chiddush. Now the Amar Rabbi Elazar, now before I move on to the Gemara. First of all, the Gemara doesn't identify, but I think we can all figure it out. What is the malacha? Meaning, if I cut off my fingernails, what malacha on Shabbos did I violate? 39 to choose from, but of the 39 to choose from, we could really narrow down. Rashi over here says it's the malacha of gozes. The malacha of gozes, shearing of the sheep. Now, shearing of the sheep is what we do, is we cut the wool off of the sheep. So over here, in terms of cutting your fingernails, so I understand it's not wool exactly, but nevertheless, it's the same basic idea. In other words, cutting off growth off the body, that's the malacha of gozes. So shearing the wool off the sheep is a malacha. Cutting your fingernails also is going to be malacha as well. I might have thought, this is a havamina, right? In other words, this is Rashi explaining the havamina. I might have thought that the malacha itself should be limited to sheep and wool. The chiddush of the Gemara over here, explains Rashi, is that no, even though I'm not a sheep, I'm a human being, and even though my fingernails are not wool, and we can even add to the chiddush as well. Meaning, when I'm shearing wool off the sheep, what's my stated goal? What am I interested in? I want the wool. When I cut the fingernails off my finger, I'm not exactly interested in my fingernails. In fact, we learned through other Gemaras, I'm much more interested in disposing of the fingernails. The Chassid says the Gemara elsewhere, where we saw this back earlier, was Shabbos or Brachos? Okay, I forget. Anyway, the Chassid is Sarif. The Chassid burns his fingernails. And then if you're on a lower madrigal, you just bury your fingernails. But certainly you want to dispose of your fingernails. So it's certainly a... It's not a perfect comparison, the shearing of the wool and the cutting of your fingernails. And so you would have entertained a very legitimate havamina. It's not the same. And the Gemara here is here to tell us, no, it is a malach of gozes. And you would be chayiv if you did so. Next point in the Gemara, back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar machlokas atzmo. Aval lechavero divrakol pater. If I cut my own fingernails, so then we have a machlokas. But if I cut somebody else's fingernails, not with the scissors, not with the clippers, but in other words, if I try removing somebody else's fingernails with my fingernails, so then divrei hakol according to everyone will be pater. Pshita, the Gemara says, now that seems to be pretty obvious because even Rabbi Eliezer, who's machmer, he says si parnav, your own fingernails. Tanan ma'u detem Rabbi Elazar chaver nami mechayev. Could be that Rabbi Elazar is going to be mechayev even in this bizarre scenario where I'm removing somebody else's fingernails with my fingernails. And it could be that the only reason why our Mishnah chose the word siparnav is to show the strength of the position, the chachamim, that even though I'm cutting my own fingernails, I'm still going to be potter. It's not going to be chiv chatas. V'chein sa'aro, removing your hairs. Tanaha noto malei piazuk chayev. Now, with everything on Shabbos, there's a shear. How much hairs do I need to remove on Shabbos in order to be chayev? Malo piazuk, the mouth of a scissor. So v'kam malo piazuk, I'm Rav Yehuda Shtayim. So it's two hairs. So the cutting of two hairs on Shabbos would warrant, would yield a chiyuv chatas. Now, what bothered by the Gemara is the following. The continuation of the Brisa says, ulakarcha. Now there's an issue in the Torah. It's mentioned in Re'eh or Shoftim. Okay. I think Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh. That if you have a that if a person loses a loved one, so they're not allowed to pull hair out of their head. There's an issue in the Torah of not to make yourself bald and out of anguish for the loss of a karuf, or for that matter, I guess the loss of anyone. And meanwhile, the Brisa over here says, and at what point precisely are you going to be violation of the issur of making yourself a kereach, removing of two hairs? What's the problem? It sounds like, doesn't sound like there's any issue. The only issue over here, it's a technical issue. It's just the way the Brisa presents it. Meaning the Brisa talks about cutting hair on Shabbos. The Brisa says, Molopia Zog. And then the Brisa goes on to say, Ula Karcha. But as far as the Issa of Korech is concerned, Shtayim, that's two. It sounds like they are two different Shiurim. Doesn't sound like it's the same Shiur. So, Ema Vechela Karcha, Shtayim. The Gemara says, okay, very simple solution. We're going to just small editing of the Brisa. The Brisa is going to read Vechein. So that means it's really the same Shia. Tanya Me'achi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, says same thing. Anota Mula Piazug. Bishabbat Chai, Vekama Mula Piazug, Shtayim. Rabbi Lazar Omer Achas. Here we have a machlokus between the Tanayim. What the actual Shia is. Whether it's two hairs or whether it's one hair, umodim chacham l'revelazer b'malaket levanos mitoch shcharos shafil achas chayev. Now here's where there's total agreement. On Shabbos, you notice you have a white hair, looking in the mirror, and you see that white hair, and let's say the rest of your hair is not white, the rest of your hair is black, and so to remove the white hair on Shabbos, even though it's one hair, even though we said that the cutting of hair requires you to take off two hairs. But because you're removing the one white hair amongst a bunch of black hairs, so that is going to result in a chiyuv. It's funny. I was gonna say makke bepatish, right? Tikkun mana, meaning yeah. It's a, okay. All right. I do like it. And okay. I'm not
taking the white from the black.
Oops. Right. Right. Obviously. Right. Obviously, he's not interested in the white over here. Yeah. Okay. Now, and then the Gemara notes, V'davar ze'af b'cholaser. Now, the Gemara says, cautionary note. Not only can you not do that on Shabbos, but you can't do that during the week as well. In other words, noticing a white hair and removing of the white hair for men cannot be done, Mishum Shenemar lo yibash gever sim lasisha. Because the Torah says that this is Parshas Ki Tse, that a man cannot dress like a woman. And over here, it does not mean, the Torah does not mean literally just simply dressing, but the issur is for any practice, any type of hygienic, making himself, being that careful and caring that much about how he looks like a woman would, that is a violation of lo yibash gever sim lasisha. And so therefore the Gemara says that's not only going to be a prohibition on Shabbos, it'll be a prohibition during the week as well. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer Tzipor Shapir Shubam Vitzitzin Shapir Shurubam Biyad Mutter Bekli Chayav Chatas. Okay, this is going to be very halach lamaisa, this happens very often. So you have a hanging, I was going to say a hanging chad. Okay, fine. That brings us back to our good old days. Remember those days? But you have a hanging cuticle on your finger, and it's really bothering you. So the Gemara over here quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa reflects a halacha, which is a little bit strange. Tzipor Shapir Shuban, Tzitzin. I'm sorry. Tzipor Shapir Shuban, Vitzitzin Shapir Shuban Beyad Mutter. So if most of it is hanging off and there's only a little bit suspended, so then if to remove it with your finger, that's mutter. Now, very careful about the way the Brisa says. The Brisa says mutter, which means it's not even an issur derabanan. It's totally mutter. It's mutter legamre. However, if I took out a clipper, if I took out scissors, and I cut it with scissors, chayav chatas. So then you're going to be chayav karmen chatas, as you just violated an issur deraisa. And now, obviously, this is troubling. Because you will never see this range of position. In other words, you'll go through Shabbos and you'll see it again. We're already, it's crazy, but we're almost two-thirds through Shabbos. And you'll see it very often. That when there's a machlokus, the range is going to be somewhere between mutter versus pater. Avalaster, Patal Avalaster versus Chiyav Chatas. But you don't say, you don't see this, where on one end you have a Chiyav Chatas, according to one opinion. Another opinion says it's Mutal Agamre. That's too wide a range. And the Gemara said, and the even if
it's not a
machlokas, I agree with you, you're right. But in other words, but even still, though, in other words, there shouldn't be such a wide difference between the out of
the clay. But the means are different. The means right. are drastic.
Okay. The, all right. I'm setting us up for the Gemara. So I'm trying to set us up for success. Gemara says no such animal, no such thing on Shabbos. Where if I cut it with a utensil, it's going to be a chiyav chatas, and then the chachamim are just simply going to say, but if you do it with your finger, it's mutar legamri. It just doesn't exist. So hachi kamar hirshu ruban biyad mutar bekli patar v'alster. Okay, if most of the fingernails hanging off, if most of the cuticles hanging off, and it's just hanging on by just a little bit. To remove it with your finger, said that's mutter. To remove it with a kli, that's an iser derabanan. Now, lo pirshu ruban. Now, if most of it's not hanging off, so in other words, the majority of it's still attached to your finger, either the nail or the cuticle, biyad pato aval aser, bikli chayev chatas. So here, that's where, if I do it with a kli, that's a chiyev, because that's gozeis. And if I do it with my hand, so it's an issur derabanan. I'm Rabbi Yehuda halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, and the Gemara acknowledges that that's in fact the halacha. I'm a Rabbi Barbechan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. V'hu shepirshu kapi mala umitzaro sosa. Now the Gemara gives an important qualification over here. The only time that you're allowed to remove the cuticle or the fingernail is only if there's sar involved. Now I'm not 100% sure what the Gemara means by this when it says v'hu shepirshu kapi mala. That's when the cuticle is peeling upward. Now, upward can mean towards your body, probably does, right? That's what lamala means when talking about extremities of your hands or your feet, and the Gemara uses the word lamala, it usually means upward, meaning towards the core of your body. Right? I know you have a term for that.
Cephalad.
Damn, I knew it. So the so that's probably what. That's probably what lamala means. So in other words, it has to be peeling up, and the Gemara says there has to be tzar, there has to be pain involved as well. Meaning that the heter of removing cuticles or fingernails is only if there's pain involved. If there's no pain involved, it sounds like from the Gemara that there's no heter to remove it. Not even with your fingers. V'chein ha-godelas. And now we move on to the other malachas on Shabbos that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Again, all these malachas, Rabbi Lazar feels that they are Yisuri Daraisa. They all qualify as malachas, and the Chachamim say, no, it's not a malacha, it's Asur, cannot do it, but it's not a malacha. But still, what we're going to do over the course of the next 20 minutes, I'd say, is basically try to identify, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the malacha? Godelas. So now we're talking about braiding hair. Kocheles, putting makeup on, and pokeses. So mishum mai mechayve, what malacha are you violating when doing these activities? I'm Rabbi Abin, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Godelas mishum areges. So here's our first attempt of trying to explain. So Godelas, that's the malacha of oreg, you're weaving. Kocheles, that's the malacha of kosevis, you're writing. And that's interesting. In other words, wait. You're writing. In other words, basically what you're doing is that you're writing, you're taking a pen, and you're writing around your eye. That's the way Rashi describes it. Pokeses mishum tove. And pokeses, that's tvia, that's spinning. Now, here we get back to the Rashi back in the Mishnah. I mentioned what is pokeses, so I said Rashi really is unsure what pokeses is. Rashi's first pshat is it's combing your hair. And then Rashi says, I don't really think so. Rashi says maybe it's putting some sort of exfoliator on your skin, right? They had some sort of dough, and they would apply, it was like an application to the face, and they would peel it off, and it would get the skin nice and red. Tosos says, I don't think pokeses is combing your hair. And one of Tosos's proof that he thinks that it's not combing your hair is because of our Gemara right over here. If you want to take a look back at Tosos, he writes, pokeses, mashibrish pokeses pokeses hanusarekes biyad obimasvek in nira. I don't think it's right, says Tosfos. The big Gemara, Mashma Davi Kein Tove. Because the Gemara says it's something like Tvi, it's something like spinning. Combing your hair is really not like spinning. Right, ustrika ina kein tvia klal. Right, combing your hair has nothing to do with spinning. Va'od the im kein hayashona sarekis kedanan. Now zechofif and mafasos of alo sarek, and then we would have quoted the brisa regarding nazir. So Tosso says, I don't think it has to do with combing. It has to do with applying this dough. But still, even applying this dough, how does that have anything to do with spinning? So if you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, so he tries to explain it. V'lashon hasheni osa me osa batzei kemin chut. Because what you do with this dough before you put it onto your face is you spin it nice and thin, and then you apply it to your face. Okay. Again, I'm not sure what we're trying to describe over here, but basically dough and spinning out the dough, that I do get. So Rashi says that's what it means when it says pokestes. If you go with the exfoliating pshat. Anyway, I'm Rabbanan Kamei de Rabbi Abba v'chiderech hariga b'kach v'chiderech ksiva b'kach v'chiderech tvia b'kach. And the Gemara says, I think we're going to go 0-3. 0-3 on our attempt of trying to define what the malachas are. Meaning, I don't think that braiding your hair is a function of weaving. I don't think that painting your eyes is a function of writing. And I don't think that pokeses is a function of tvi, of spinning. Ela amar Rabbi Abba, l'didim afash leminader, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. And now on the top, Tzadi Hamad Aleph, kocheles mishum sova. So number one, let's go kocheles. What's the problem with kocheles? Tzviya, you're painting. Meaning you're applying a color to your face that is soveya, that is dying. And that is why kocheles would be aser. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, not just aser, some malacha d'oraisa. Godelos of pokeses mishum bona. And as far as braiding your hair is concerned, as far as pokeses, which again, we can go with either Pshat or Rashi, but either one of them, it's binyan, it's building. Now the Gemara says, braiding your hair is building? Really? V'chiderech binyan b'kach in? The Gemara answers very quickly. Yes, it is. Braiding your hair is building. Parshas Bereishis, creation of Chava. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Sela, took the appendage of Adam HaRishon, and transformed it into Chava. Malame Shekila HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. And the Gemara here gives unbelievable imagery. Right? In other words, it's funny. I put this in the world of Agadita, in the world of Drush, but here you have an intersection in our Gemara between Drush and Halacha. Meaning that when the Torah describes the formation of Chava, so the Gemara over here says that from the word Vayiven, that he built Chava, the Gemara understands, not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu build Chava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chava Yachal, if I could say this, is a hairdresser. And he braided her hair. Shekil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chava, Ve'evi Laitzel Adam. Shekein B'kar Chayam, Kare L'Kliyasa B'niyasa. And in linguistics, it is legitimate that in the Karchayam, in the islands, when they refer to Kliya, to braiding, the word that they use is Benisa. And I guess the Gemara says that's a reflection. It speaks to the idea that braiding is really a function of Binyan. And so therefore, yes, says the Gemara, that is correct. So braiding here on Shabbos is Aser. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's an Issa Daraisa. It's a Malacha Shabbos. According to the Chachamim, it's not a Malacha Shabbos, but still Aser nevertheless. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Godelos Kocheles Pokeses La'atzma Petur Lechaver Techayeves. The Gemara quotes the Brisa of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that when you're braiding, when you are applying makeup, or when you're pokeset, so doing it to yourself, you're potter, but doing it to somebody else, you're going to be chayev. The assumption the Gemara is making is that a woman do a much better job for another woman than they do for themselves. The chena, your Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, or maybe Shimon Rabbi Eliezer, Yishal Osav Yisrak Apaneh. Mimnei Shot Savas, a woman is not allowed to put srak. Again, it's some sort of exfoliator. Rashi describes it as being Seva Adon, right? Some sort of rouge, right? No. Yeah, right. Correct. Agreed. Srak Apaneh Mimnei Shot Savas, because that's coloring. Tanu Rabbanan Acholav HaMechabetz VaHaMegavin BeKegrogris HaMechabetz VaHaMeravetz VaRodeh Chalos Dvash Shagur B'Chayev Chayev I'm sorry, B'Shabbos Chayev Chatas. Hizid b'yom tov loka arbam divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And now we're going to go over an assortment of other malachas where, again, it's the same basic idea. Rabbi Eliezer is going to put this all into the category of a malacha Shabbos. And therefore, if you do it on Shabbos, b'shogi yuchayv akabin chatos. V'chachamim omri mechazeh v'chazeh inu ala mishum shvos. And the chachamim say they are a shvos. Okay, let's go through this list in a little slower fashion. The first thing we mentioned on the list is cholev. Cholev is milking. Mechabetz, some sort of cheese making. Rashi describes. Rashi gives a couple descriptions of what mechabetz is. So you look at the Rashi, third line down. Rashi says, "Amamir achalav bekeva." So one pshat Rashi says is to put the milk inside of the keva. This may not sound too appealing to you, but in the good old days,
strains the milk.
Also, the enzymes in the stomach are an excellent catalyst in order to make the cheese. So anyway, what they would do is that they would put it in the stomach of the cow in order for it to curdle. But linira mechabetz osa kimin kli gemi. Rashi gives another description of what mechabetz is. Putting it in some type of rubber tube. But no saying a kafoy besocho. Umea chalashe misyuve notfin. Veloazen osan in... In kids? Okay, whatever the case is, basically another way of production of cheese, where I'm putting the curdled milk inside of a in some sort of tube. I'm allowing the whey to drip out of the tube. Either way, it is cheese production on Shabbos that is according to Rabbi Eliezer. And Issa Daraisa. It's a Melech HaShabbos. Megabin. I guess Megabin is a more classic way of making cheese. I guess. Kegrogris. Or if you sweep your house or you meravetz your house. Now there are two terms that are being used over here in our Gemara. Kivut and Rivutz. Now Kivut is the actual act of sweeping. Rivutz. They didn't. A lot of their houses back in the good old days did not have stone floors. It had simply dirt floors. And so what they would do to keep the dirt down is they would just simply sprinkle water over the dirt floors that would keep the dirt down on the ground. Harod chalos devash, or removing honey from the honeycombs. Shagar b'shabbos. So all these cases, right? So we have how many cases do we have over here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 different cases over here. All 6 of these cases, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're chayv akabin chatas if you do a b'shogeg, and the chachamim say no, it's an issa d'rabbanan. And again, just like we did in the mission, we're going to do over here as well. Meaning we're going to have to try to identify what's the malacha. Meaning we know there are 39 malachas. So somehow we're going to have to compartmentalize. We're going to have to figure out which malacha are, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, are we talking about over here? Gemara brings in a story. It's an interesting story. Rav Nachman Gurya Ikla Narda. So Rav Nachman, son of Gurya, goes to the city of Narda, the yeshiva of Narda, and Ba'amine Chalav Mishamai Mechayev. So what's the malacha? Why are you chayev when you milk on Shabbos? So Amr Lahu Mishum Cholev. So he gives an answer. Now granted, it's a pretty straightforward answer. You're chayev because of Cholev. But, if I could say this, it's not a good answer. So in other words, they're asking what malacha are we going to put it under? And he says, we'll file it under cholev. Cholev's not a malacha. Mechabetz, mishamai mechayev. What about mechabetz? The cheese making. So I'm aluhu misham mechabetz. Oh, then, you know why you're chayev? You're chayev for the malacha mechabetz. Megabin mishamai mechayev. I'm aluhu misham megabin. Okay, yeah, you're chayev because of megabin. So Amr lei, rabcha kato kane iba agma. Okay, Hava. Right, this is an insult given by one Amora to the other Amora. Right, your Rebbe is a woodcutter. Okay. Also, Shal Beis Medrash Amr lei. So now they go to the Beis Medrash. They ask the questions again, the Beis Medrash. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know what we get from that story. Meaning, I understand the answers weren't good. I understand the barb to the Rebbe, but okay, it's an interesting piece of Gemara. Anyway, Amr le cholev chayv mishum mefarek. So now we go over what we know. In other words, this is what we're expecting. Meaning we're gonna file it. File each one of these acts under a particular malacha. So in terms of cholev, so that's the same malacha as mefarek. Mefarek, by the way, is a tolada of the malacha of dash. Dash is what we do with the kernel. Is that after we take the after we cut down the shibalim, the sheaves, so then what we want to do is we want to separate the kernel from the chaff. And we do that by threshing. Right? Threshing is that fancy term where basically we apply a tremendous amount of pressure, and by applying the pressure, the kernel is going to be extracted from the chaff. Here also, basically, I'm extracting the milk from inside the mother, so it's a tolada of mefarik. Mechabit chayev mishom borer. Now, as far as mechabit is concerned, what am I doing? I'm separating the curds from the whey. And so that's a malacha of borer. Megabin chayv mishum bona. Now, as far as megabin is concerned, I'm taking milk, I'm converting it into a hard piece of cheese. That's building, it's a malacha of binyan. Two interesting applications of the malacha of binyan that we saw today. Braiding hair, right, making cheese production, both falling under the category of bona. Ha-mechabed, ha-merabed, ve-harode chalos devash. Now we're up to the sweeping and the rebuts and the removing of the honey from the honeycombs. Shagar b'shayim chayachatas. He's a b'yamta lo karabayim div Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Not to be confused, this is the Amar Rabbi Elazar. My time of the Rabbi Eliezer. Dichziv ha'id boloso b'yaros ha'dvash. He dipped it in the yaros ha'dvash. Pasuk from Shmuel Aleph. V'chima inyan ya'ar etzol dvash. Now, what does the forest have anything to do with honey? El alam lecha, mayar, I told you, mimina b'shabbos chayev chatas. Avchalos devash, I wrote it, mimina b'shabbos chayev chatas. When I take honey off the honeycomb, I'm basically, it's the same thing as plucking a tree out of the ground. It is makom gidulo, it's the place where it grows, and so consequently, it is a malacha of tolesh. Amim ashar zilcha b'mechuza. Okay, now, we're going to go back to the sweeping. Now, the Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara, when talking about sweeping, the Gemara did not identify the malacha. The Gemara identified the malacha for all these other activities, but the Gemara didn't say anything in terms of what sweeping is. The Gemara says that sweeping basically is a function. The Gemara doesn't say it. We're going to say it because it's going to be clear from the ensuing discussion. Sweeping, especially if your house was a natural habitat, and there was no and there's no stones and there's no tiles, so when you're sweeping, essentially what you're doing is you're leveling your floor, okay, and that's going to be a tolad of binyan, or maybe let's say a malacha binyan. So the concern is regarding sweeping is that if you sweep, and especially if now don't think about it with a broom and soft. So the soft hay at the edge of the broom. But in other words, think of it in terms of, you really are, it's like, right, I know I keep going back to baseball, but it's the only thing I know, outside of Gemara. And I don't know either pretty well, but in other words, right, the groundskeepers, right, between innings, you know, what they take those really heavy instruments, and they really level out the floor. I mean, that is a function of bona. That's binyan. So the Gemara says over here that if you sweep and if you're meravitz, and meravitz is sprinkling the water to keep it down, so that would be on Shabbos an Esther. According to Rabbi Elazar, malacha. According to the Chachamim, it would be Esther. And with that in mind, amei mashari zilcha b'mechuza. In the town of Mechuza, Amemar allowed the sprinkling of the water on their floors. Now why? So take a look at Rashi. And Rashi writes, L'ravetz abayis v'ritzbas avanim haisa b'chol ha'ir. Now it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says that not only was the houses tiled with stone, but Rashi says every house in the city was tiled with stone. Now why is Rashi speaking about every house in the city? Why is he not limiting it to just one? Because apparently what we're arguing now is that because in the town of Mechuza, every house is tiled, so therefore there's no reason for the Chachamim to make any type of gzera. The reason why you can't sprinkle water on the ground is for fear that you don't have a tiled house, you don't have a stone house, and so therefore you're going to end up violating the malacha of binyan, keeping the dirt on the ground. But because in the town of Mechuza, everybody's house was tiled with stone tiles, so therefore, a Mamer allowed it in the town of Mechusa. Amr, and he goes on to explain. Time Amay Amar Rabban and Dilma Asilash Vigumos, Hacha Leka Gumos. Here in our town, we simply don't have any Gumos, so therefore, I know the reason behind the Gzera de Rabbanan, and because the reason doesn't apply over here, so therefore, I'm relieving from the Gzera de Rabbanan. Gets us to that age-old discussion, which is an important discussion, which is that if the Chachamim are Gozer, and there's a reason why there's Gozer, and the reason no longer applies, so is the Gzera still in force? So here's an example. You could put this in your arsenal of examples of, at least according to Amemar, where he was of the opinion that because the reason no longer applies, so therefore the Gzera no longer is in force. But obviously that really results in a slippery slope. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous argument, but it's right here in the Gemara. Rava Tusfa Ashkechela Ravina Deka Mitzdar Mehevla. Rava Tusfa sees that Ravina is having a bad time with the dust, allergies, and let's even suggest asthma. Whatever the case is, the dust is really getting to him. A different version of who the Amoraim were. Either way, now, basically, on Shabbos, what he does so desperately wants to do is sprinkle water over the ground in order to keep the ground down, in order to minimize the amount of dust in the air. So he wants to be Meravitz. But, as we just learned in our Gemara, you're not allowed to do it. Harotzel Aravitz is based on a Shabbos. So maybe a reva malei amayim, the rochets pana bezavizu, yada bezavizu, ragla bezavizu, the nimtza habayis merabets me'elav. So the Gemara gives a little maneuvering, fancy footwork. I mean that here literally. Yeah, some fancy footwork, some halachic maneuvering in order to A, wash your hands, feet, and face, and B, also to be meravitz the ground as well. Now, I think we're all going to smile at this because we're all going to realize, wait a second, it sounds like a little bit of deception that's going on over here. Meaning, wash your hands in that corner, or some water's going to spill on the ground? Not a problem. And then wash your feet in that corner, or some water's going to spill on the ground? Okay, so be it. Now, okay, yeah, I know we're all going to throw around the terms. I'm also going to throw around the terms. Okay, so in other words, then you do this in all... Arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, and the four corners of your house, and good, and now right, you got a clean face, and you got a watered ground. And so, now, this type of harama, under normal circumstances, would be aser. And over here, the Gemara is acquiescing that this is okay. Now, we could say a couple of things. We could say, what are we going to say? In order to explain why this harama is okay. So first of all, we could suggest that Meravetz, well look, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer says it's an Issa Daraisa, but we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, we pass like the Chachamim. So in other words, we could drop it down to an Issa Darabanan. So now the argument is, Phil, I think you made the argument, it's a Psik Reisha. Meaning that you know when you wash your hands and you wash your feet and your face, what's going to happen is it's going to come off your face and it's going to go on the ground. So what are we now talking about? We're talking about a psik reshe on an iser derabanan. Okay, a number of poskim are of the opinion that a psik reshe, in other words, it's a davashin of miskavin, it's not your intent, and a psik reshe by an iser derabanan is mutter. Now,
here was the intent.
Huh?
It was.
Okay, right. In other words, and then it comes to a point. Yeah, I'm good.
Why not?
Misasik is not Misasik. Misasik, you know what you're doing. Meaning here, he knows what he's doing.
Your face, your intent is what.
Good. The Misasik, all the examples of Misasik is I didn't even know that there was a malacha in question. I picked up a vegetable thinking that the vegetable was attached from the ground, it was attached. Here, you know exactly what you're doing. You know you're washing your face, and you know any of the leftover water is going to fall to the ground. And so therefore, and I like right, your argument of, well, it is a psik reisha, but ultimately, in other words, it's not that he's washing his face and as a secondary consequence, the floor is going to get washed. In other words, really, his primary goal is to wash the floor, and the washing of his face is just a means to get to that point. It's a good argument. Okay, I'm with you. The Gemara hands out an interesting harama. sorry. I know we're almost up to the Mishnah. Amalei lava daitai. So, and his response is, oh, you're right. Yeah, in a chinami. The, either, now, could mean one of two things. Either I forgot, or as Rashi says, Rashi offers another pshat over here, meaning I don't agree. Meaning I don't think that's right. And maybe for a lot of the arguments that were offered here in our shir. Tani Isha Chachma Marvetz is based on a Shabbos. An Isha Chachma, a wise woman, could do rebits in her house, meaning, in other words, she'll do the dishes. She'll do the dishes a little bit in this corner, a little bit in that corner, and the house will be Meravitz Me'ela. V'ayidna desfir lanka Rabbi Shimon. Shari afilu chatchila. Now, nowadays, we all like Rabbi Shimon. And because nowadays we hold like Rabbi Shimon, it's davishin miskavein. So then it's mutla gamrei. It sounds like from the Gemara that the Gemara doesn't take segregation into consideration at all. Meaning the Gemara just simply says, "Look, it's mutla because we all like Rabbi Shimon." So from that Gemara, it sounds to me
there can't be any segregation.
Correct. Agreed. It sounds to me. I'm going to make this very same point. It sounds to me that this is not a segregation. Now, why is it not a segregation? So I guess we have to be more in touch with what rebus actually is, how exactly it works, but the Gemara feels it's not a psik ratio.
The thing is that you're never sure how the water is going to spread then by...
Right. Correct. Agreed. In other words, we have to see in action in order to really get a sense of whether it's inevitable or it's not inevitable, and the Gemara sounds like it's not inevitable. Okay, we have a little bit more to go today. We have a little bit more time. Atolishmi, atzitz nakov. Chai v'sheinu nakov potter v'reshim and potter b'zeh v'zeh. Okay. Taking from a pot. So if I pick a plant, any growth that comes out of a pot, so in halacha, we sometimes make a distinction whether the pot has holes or does not have holes. Now, it's an interesting argument of the Gemara, and those of you who are in the world of planting and you have a green thumb and you know this from this, so you could certainly speak more intelligently about it than I can. Essentially, what the argument is that if it's a knockoff, if it's a pot that has holes in it, it's perforated, so therefore it draws yinika, it draws its nourishment from the ground. And even if, and this is obviously a big chiddush, and even if it's not directly on the ground itself, even just being over the ground, being on the airspace over the ground, creates a yinika from the ground, and therefore it's considered a pot that has holes in it. It's considered grounded. And because it's considered grounded, that means that on Shabbos, if I go over and I pick a leaf from that, so I'm going to be chayev. That is the malacha of kotzer. And I'm going to be chayev for removing from the pot, even though the pot's not in the ground, but if it's perforated, it's ke'ilu, it's in the ground. So I told Shmav, it's nakav chayev, v'sheinu nakav poter. And Rabbi Shimon poter b'zeh v'zeh. Now, Rabbi Shimon's position is, even if the pot has holes in it, it's not going to result in a chiyuv chatas. It still would be asur, but it will not result in a chiyuv chatas. Ramilei Abai l'Rav, Ramilei Rabbi Chiya b'Rav l'Rav, Tanan. Rabbi Shimon poter b'zeh v'zeh, Amma nakov l'Rabbi Shimon, k'she'enu nakov mashulei. It is clear from our Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon, when he sees a pot, whether it has or does not have holes in it, it's not grounded. It's not considered part of the ground. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The Ramina Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein bein nakov l'she'enu nakov, Ela, top of Sadi Hammond base, Ela l'hachshir zerayim bilvad. The only difference between nakov and enu nakov is only hachshir zerayim. So, now, first of all, what does this mean? Now, hachshir zerayim, as we know, is that in order for a seed to become, or for that matter, any fruit, or any food that grows out of the ground. And the truth of the matter is, even food that doesn't grow from the ground, meaning it's true for meat as well. But any food, in order to be mukshel lekabel tuma, first has to come into contact with a liquid. But here's the catch. It's got to come into contact with a liquid after it's been detached, not before it's been detached. Take a look at the top Rashi on the Amud, Sadi Hamad Beis. Rashi writes, Rabbi Shimon says that if the pot has holes in it, it's as if the plant inside is connected to the ground, and therefore it can come into contact with water all day, it's not mukshel kabel tumah. If the pot does not have holes in it, And so therefore now it's considered like it's detached from the ground, and therefore if any of the food, vegetable or fruit, that's growing from out of that pot, it comes into contact with the water, it is now mukhshar lekabel tuma. So the problem is, as Rabbi Shimon obviously makes a distinction between potted and between holy and non-holy pots. So Amar lei lechomili Rabbi Shimon ketalosh mashvilei v'shani leinyan tuma. So the Gemara says, look, really Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that by and large there's no difference between a pot with holes and a pot that has not holes. Both of them are considered detached from the ground. Both of them are considered disconnected. And therefore, on many halachas, it's going to be considered not karka. Let me give you a couple of examples of what halachas this would affect. So first of all, and I'm using Rashi as my guide. Rashi l'chomile. Rashi says, number one, l'shabbos. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I pull a branch off out of a plant in a pot, whether the pot has holes in it or whether it does not, I do not violate the malacha of kotzer. It's usher to do so, but it's not a malacha. It's not an isser malacha. Number two, says Rashi, l'knos b'mashicha. We know that in order to make a kinyan on something which is immovable, so how do I make a kinyan? It's called meshicha, on pulling on the object. So here, if it's a pot, whether it has or does not have holes, the proper way to make a kinyan is with meshicha. Rashi continues, v'lo b'kesef. And also, by metaltalin, by movable items, you cannot make a kinyan using money. Money is a method of kinyan when it comes to karka, avadim, but not metaltalin. So therefore, I cannot purchase the pot using kesef. I only purchase it using kinyan. And Rashi goes on. A prusbol. She'eino nechtav el ala karka. We write a prusbol. One of the rules of prusbol, the Gemara in Gittin, right? Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, thereabouts. You can only write a prusbol only if you are a landowner. Now, you have to own a certain portion of land. Now, let's say you don't own land, but I own a pot. I own plants, right? But I don't own them in the ground. In other words, I only own them in pots. And it happens either, but the pot's over the ground. And even if the pot has holes in it, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's considered detached from the ground, and I cannot write a prusbol over such a pot. So just a number of examples given to us by Rashi, in terms of, according to Rabbi Shimon, generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon says any pot, even with holes, is not connected to the ground. I, Hechsher Zerayim, special Gzeres HaKosov. The Torah says, the Torah goes out of its way to say, that in the world of Hechsher Zerayim, it's considered, a pot with holes in it, is considered as if it is rooted in the ground. Okay.
Well, accept that?
Huh? That's all the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We don't go like Rabbi Shimon. We go like the Chachamim, meaning we treat a holy pot as if it, you understand,
yeah.
All right, as if it's connected to the ground. This sheet of Rabbi Shimon is not accepted, but the Gemara clarifies he has one exception. We'll stop over here. I'll pick it up tomorrow from this discussion. God willing, tomorrow we finish the 10th parak of Shabbos. Start Hazorik. Exciting parak. I mean, they're all exciting, but Azorik really a popular parak amongst the yeshiva to be done. Okay, continue Refuah Shleima to Binyamin Zev Cohen Ben Sharon Rivka Rabbi Chananya Ben Akasha Maratzek Hashbaruch Zaki Sof Yichachem Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Nai Chafetz Amantziko Yagdil Torah Viyadir.